Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Customer Podcast, where you'll discover the latest insights, opinions, and trends within the industry. This podcast is proudly sponsored by Salesforce, the world's number one service platform. With Salesforce, you have a 360-degree view of your customers, empowering agents and making interactions easy for your customers. The result? Deeper customer relationships built on intelligence, empathy, and trust. Visit sfdc.co/customer-service to find out more.
Today, our editor, Lizzie Acas, is delighted to be joined by Andrew Moultrie, Managing Director of Consumer Products and Publishing at BBC Studios, Board Member and Non-Executive Director, and case study presenter at our 2019 Customer Engagement Transformation Conference. At BBC Studios, Andrew oversees a portfolio of businesses, including home entertainment, interactive gaming, licensing, publishing, and audio. Andrew is passionate about culture, people, and developing emotional intelligence in leadership.
Hi, Andrew. It's lovely to speak with you today. You are the Managing Director of Consumer Products and Publishing at BBC Studios, as well as also being a board member and a non-executive director. And it was great to hear you speak about your case study, Who Really Is the Customer Here, at our Customer Engagement Transformation Conference in July. Today, we're going to be delving a little deeper and expanding on some of the key points that you made in your case study talk. And if you're ready, let's get started.
So just
to kick us off, can you please give an introduction to BBC Studios for our listeners that may not be familiar?
Sure. BBC Studios, it's a commercial subsidiary of the BBC Group, and the BBC is our sole shareholder. So all our profits go back into the BBC to drive value for the license fee holder. At Studios, we're a global content company with British creativity at its heart, and we work with the best writers, directors, and program makers that champion British creativity. We craft over about, say, 2,500 of content every year through 7 production bases in the UK and partnerships in a further 9 countries around the world. But that's not all. We're a committed partner to the UK's thriving independent production community, as well as other broadcasters and digital platforms, delivering content that showcases the best of British talent stamped with the hallmark of quality. So our operations span content, financing, development, production, sales, branded services, and consumer products.
Brilliant, thank you. And in your talk, you explained that if you want to engage your customers, you need to start by engaging your employees. Can you please tell us more about this and explain why it's so important?
Yeah, this is a real passion point for me. Because an engaged workforce can really lift an organization's revenues and profitability. And the 2009 McLeod report, which was commissioned by the UK government, proved that a wider take-up of employee engagement approaches had a positive impact on the UK economic competitiveness, which is a great thing. In 2016, there was Gallup research that proved that engaged employees outperform less engaged employees by 18% in productivity and 22% in profitability. And Vision Critical work that proved that by engaging your employees helps actually reduce turnover, so it helps maintain your pace as an organization, and that the most engaged employees are 87% less likely to leave the company. And we all know that employee churn can cost a business a lot of money, and it's been estimated that the cost of replacing an employee is upwards of 200% of their salary these days, which is enormous. So engaged employees can have a really massive impact on your business performance and the pace by which it operates. And the hard facts remain that if your employees don't feel valued, if they feel like they're treated like robots, or that your boss doesn't really care about them, see them, or hear them, then they're not going to be able to represent your customer at all. They're not going to drive customer engagement. So it's never been more important to be focused on internal feeling and culture in order to remain competitive and relevant in the marketplace.
Brilliant, thank you. And as you mentioned culture, can you explain why a positive work culture is so important and how this is implemented at BBC Studios?
Yeah, for me, I really think that there's an existential threat out there. The most important thing for our organisations is our people, it's our culture. And it's so clear that skills are going to get commoditised on a daily basis as technology grows and in a lot of ways takes over. The robots aren't coming, they're here. So we're in a dawning of an era where I think the single most important trait will be emotional intelligence, the mastery of self-awareness, self-management, social awareness, and relationship management. And it's never been more important to be focused on internal feelings and culture in order to remain competitive and relevant out there. You know, we're seeing mass walkouts by disenfranchised employees all across the globe, where female execs have been leaving en masse at Nike. Google's disgruntled employees are suing them. There's even more walkouts going out with Amazon's employees as they protest about being treated worse than robots. The list goes on. And we will see more case studies of this coming in the future, I feel. So we really need to start having proper conversations with our people in order to build our culture, drive our engagement, and stay competitive. And the focus, more than ever, needs to be on those people, on our culture, and not just the customer. So within my divisions at Consumer Products and Publishing within BBC Studios, we're on a journey. We're on a journey of staff engagement, and it doesn't happen overnight. It does take time, and it takes energy. And the journey starts with listening. It's not just about attending meetings or having catch-ups, but being completely present, having a conscious listening mentality. In order to do this, you need to give yourself permission to slow down. You need to remove distractions, and you need to respect those with which you are listening to. We need to stop taking phones into meetings. We need to stop trying to multitask or clear our inboxes when we're actually having conversations. We need to become deliberate listeners versus coincidental ones, because conscious listening creates understanding. Understanding generates trust, and trust underpins strong relationships.
Brilliant, thank you. And in your talk, you also highlighted some of the key things to avoid when building a work culture. Can you talk us through these, please?
Yeah, this is kind of like my smoothie issue. But culture is it's a bloody big word with many machinations. But let me tell you how you don't build a culture. You don't build a culture by having free smoothies in your cafeteria, and you don't build a culture by having a football table or a ping pong table in breakout areas, or having open plan seating or giving away free breakfast. You know, it's delusional to think that by placing a banana and strawberry smoothie into someone's hand will take away all the pain of their job. It just won't. You build culture and you create meaningful engagement by talking to people one by one and by seeing them, understanding what they care about. And you will learn that some people want money, some people want titles, some people want time with their family, flexibility, or creativity. And it's our job to know every single one of these things and engage with our people every single day. Because trust me, Andrew at 23 wanted different stuff when he was 27. And Andrew at 30 wanted different stuff when he was 34. It's time that our corporate ecosystem starts paying attention to the human elements that will drive our businesses to the next level. And this conversation, it's just not having, and it's a conversation that will determine our future.
Brilliant, thank you. And just linking to that, really, can you please talk us through the 5 leadership hacks that you mentioned in your talk?
Yeah, these are things I've learned on my journey from sports shoes to TV, from marketing assistant to managing director. And the first one is about being vulnerable. Because the robotic, infallible approach to leadership that I kind of grew up with as a Generation Xer doesn't drive engagement these days, doesn't engage people. It's an outdated approach to business that just does not fly. Donning masks and being robotic about KPI delivery and margins and productivity output no longer engenders trust or engagement from teams or peers. People see right through it. You need to show that you're human. You need to show that you make mistakes and that you don't have all the answers. It's only when you really lay your vulnerability on the line, when you lower your mask and connect authentically from the heart, not just the head, that you will engender trust and drive positive engagement. The second hack was about being genuine, because leaders, in my opinion, who are genuine, never run away from a matter when others are unwilling and afraid to address it. Everyone will trust you if you do what you say and say what you do. So model a standard of authenticity personally, which demonstrates your values and morals in alignment with your business or your company. And if you can't align on values with the organization you're in, then I question why you are there in the first place. You can't be you if you don't agree with an organization's culture. And today you need to bring you to work every single day. The third thing was caring. We all like to feel valued for who we are rather than how much money we make or the material goods that we have. And employees, they are no different. In fact, research shows that 83% of engaged staff say my supervisor cares about me as a person, compared to just 3% of disengaged workers. So it's clear, getting to know people is worth it. So if you want staff to care about their work, you must first show you care about them as people. So get to know your employees. Find out what matters to each of them professionally and personally. What's their favorite TV show? What's their favorite meal? What inspires them? Ask and listen and do it regularly. The fourth hack, as I see it, is about being a family. So much of what human beings is done in the service of belongingness. And Julian Holt-Lornstedt in her paper, Loneliness and Social Isolation, showed that people who had strong social relationships had a 50% increased likelihood of survival than those with weaker ties. So feeling part of something, more than just a team, something with purpose and strong values, a family, can not only drive productivity, but it can make you live longer. Avoid developing or adopting a super chicken mentality. And check out Margaret Hefferman's TED talk on Forget the Pecking Order to see what I mean here. And then the fifth thing was about action. Companies who choose a single area of focus are most successful at driving change. So choose one area to focus on and dive deeper into your conversations and results or pain points there. Get buy-in from your teams on that singular focus as the priority to drive their engagement and discussion and green initiative to resolve it and then deliver it. Don't overpromise and under-deliver. Don't make long lists of to-dos that never get completed because that only disengages your people. Focus on one action, deliver it, and then move to the next one, which is super simple, yet very achievable. So those are kind of the five hacks as I see them.
Brilliant, thank you. And just following on, in your talk you mentioned the importance of being aware of diversity, inclusion, and unconscious biases. Can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, sure. As we listen, we need to be aware of diversity, inclusion, and our unconscious biases, because let's not fool ourselves that our businesses are built on meritocracy, that we see no creed or colour, because it's not true. Now, we're biased to be biased as human beings. That's what makes us feel connected and secure. So know your bias. Know that you have biases and accept them, and then actively manage them. Two strongest biases that we really need to be aware of is what's called recency bias. It's who I speak to the most. And the other one is in-group bias, the group of people that remind me of myself. And because we're living in a world where an activist mindset is the norm and many groups have a voice and platforms that reach millions of like-minded individuals, we need to be aware of this. So in order to engage with your diverse workforce, you need to let them have their voice, create a platform to engage with them on and start paying attention to their views, because they're going to organize whether you like it or not. And either you have them as advocates of your business or you take the risk of a polarized activist approach by them. If you engage with people the way they want to be engaged, they will drive your innovation, they will drive your productivity, and they will fuel your growth. Now, we have 10 active diverse working groups with a voice within BBC Studios and an executive sponsor. And these include a Next Generation board focused on youth, working parents, disability, BAME, LGBT, 50 plus, men, gender equality, mental health, and socioeconomic mobility.
Brilliant, thank you. And just to finish us off, can you give us any insight into what we might be able to see from BBC Studios in this area moving forward as well?
Yeah, at a BBC group level, you know, we're committed 100% to hitting diversity, inclusion, and gender equality levels right across the organisation. And we're going to be held accountable from that by our Director General, Tony Hall, to deliver it. And it's not going to happen overnight, but you will start seeing more diverse representation across our leadership groups around the whole of the BBC, including BBC Studios. And the process of recruitment and the empowerment of diverse groups to be heard in the business will be seen. The intent is definitely there. You know, if you can't see people from your own background doing well in an organization, you're never going to believe that you can actually do well as well. So we need to change this view. You know, it's work in progress, but you need to see it in order to believe it, to really buy into it. Ultimately, for me, beyond delivering the diversity inclusion targets we're committed to or driving our internal engagement scores, I think we'll be doing the right thing when we start seeing Glassdoor.com or external research metrics from Great Place to Work or Fortune Broadcast or our industry peers openly communicating that BBC Studios is not only the best British content company in the world, but it's one of the best places to work for in the world as well.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Those are all of the questions that I have for you today, Andrew. I hope everyone listening has enjoyed this discussion. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you so much again, Andrew. It's been lovely to speak with you and hear more about this.
You're welcome.